Dr. Hansen from Truth Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to get into our study in the book of Isaiah. You know, we didn't get a whole we didn't get too far in chapter 45 for some reason. We're going to get right back into that chapter of 45. And we're going to continue, and I hope you're enjoying this as we go into the book of Isaiah. It's very interesting, and I think you're enjoying it. It's a super book, 66 verses, actually 66 chapters. It's a mini Bible, actually, 66 chapters and 66 books in the Bible, and it's so informative as far as prophecy and the Messiah and everything, and it really goes together well with the entire Bible. We are now at the 10th verse, at the 45th chapter, and I hope this is God uses Cyrus, a heathen, and he anoints Cyrus somehow to do his work and help his people, God's people. Let's continue with verse 10. Woe to him who says to a father, what are you begetting? What are you begetting? In other words, what have you done here? Or to a woman, to what are you giving birth? You know, it's like you look down there and, oh my goodness, what is it? No, it's sometimes we think this way because we think that we are the worst of the worst. And we should think that way, actually, because I believe that it's healthy to think that, you know what, I'm just nothing. I'm just nothing. In the eyes of God, I'm everything, but I'm nothing in my own flesh. That's a good, healthy way of thinking. To what are you giving birth? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me about the things to come concerning my sons. Ask me about the things to come. In other words, ask me about the future events concerning my people Israel. Ask me. And you shall commit to me the work of my hands. It is I who made the earth and created man upon it. If there's any doubt in your mind, here's the statement. God created the earth, the heavens, just like he said in the book of Genesis. It is I who made the earth and created man upon it. I stretched out the heavens with my hands. With his hands. Now, how God did it with his hands, I don't believe that anyone really knows it. But he used, of course, his word, the word of God, to create the heavens and the earth. But here, we have a little bit of more information concerning the creation of God, the creation of the heavens, and his stretching out. Take a look at the stars and everything that has been created in the universe. I stretched out the heavens with my hands. Now, does that mean that God literally built the heavens? Well, it says here his hands had something to do with it. Now, we all know that the word of God has been used to create. Here, God is saying, I stretched out the heavens with my hands. How they could do it? Only God knows. And I ordained all their host. He ordains the angels to whom he created and gave certain responsibilities over. I have aroused him in righteousness, and I will make all his ways smooth. How would you like to have God make all your ways smooth? I bet you've had as much of the rough stuff as you'd like to have. How would you like to have God make the rough edges smooth? He will build my city and will let my exiles go free without any payment or reward, says the Lord of hosts. That is the key. And this is the key to salvation as well. I'm going to set free without any payment, without any ransom, without any reward or anything. This is what grace is right here. If you're wondering what true grace is, it's God doing something without a payment or a reward or anything, says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord, the products of Egypt and the merchandise of Cush and the Sabians, men of stature, will come over to you and will be yours. In other words, God is going to grant these people some grace like they've never had it before. The Sabians were people from Seba, S-E-B-A, Seba, in southern Arabia. And as we look into these men of stature, must have been big men. Big, huge, I don't know how tall. I mean, the Bible doesn't specify it. But and the Sabians, a man of stature, will come over to you and will be yours. In other words, you're going to use them as, possibly as slaves. I don't know. They will walk behind you. They will come over in chains. So it looks like they're going to bring them over and be slaves to the Israelis. Now, you know, you don't want to advertise this because the certain people would probably black mark you or think that you're some kind of a slave driver or slave owner. Well, there were places in the Bible where slaves were owned. It's a matter of fact. Get over it. They will walk behind you, will come over in chains, and will bow down to you. They will make supplication to you. Surely God is with you. You see here? Now, you may think, oh, God endorses slavery. Well, in certain instances, he does. Certain instances, he does. Maybe the people of Seba were about to die off of their own accord. They were in such dire need that God allowed, in certain instances, slavery to be instigated by the Jews. Surely God is with you. Well, the Jews were slaves to the Egyptians. So, you know, if you want to get technical about it, the Jews were also slaves. So, you know, there's a lot of things you may think you know that you don't. Surely God is with you and there is none else. No other God. In this case, he was endorsing, allowing this slavery to benefit his people, God's people. Truly you are a God who hides himself, O God of Israel, Savior. They will be put to shame and even humiliated, all of them. The manufacturers of idols will go away together in humiliation. The manufacture of idols will go away together in humiliation. Israel has been saved by the Lord. This is the grace of God in action right here. With an everlasting salvation, you will not be put to shame or humiliated. God is stating a fact here. There's going to be some grace poured out upon them. You'll not be put to shame or humiliated to all eternity. To all eternity. Now, this is going to go on past into the thousand-year millennium, into eternity, when Israel, or when the New Jerusalem comes down from the heavens to earth, and God recreates this world to its original creation. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, there is none else. This is something that has been repeated over and over and over again. I am the Lord, there is none else. Don't look for another God, because I am He. I am, I am, I am. I'm not a created being. I'm not someone that someone pulled out of a hat, or someone made out of a knot or a piece of wood. He burned half of it in the fire. And this is a nice looking piece of wood. Let's make a god out of it. And let's worship it and pray to it. And let it be our God. No, God does not endorse such things. He does not desire. This kind of thing is an abomination. It's an abomination to God. Any kind of idol worship or idol manufacturing is something God will take very, very, and punish harshly against it. Well, let's stop there. We'll take up this study tomorrow in the 45th chapter, and we'll go a few more verses. I think it's very important that we spend time on these. And I don't want to bore you with it, but I just want to bring out some points that you may not have ever looked at. And I believe we've covered some of the things that God does that you may have not even imagined, but He does. Well, that's our time for today, folks. Go to our website, krciradio.com, and shoot us an email, kevin@krciradio.com. That's my name. And you can write to us at KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. And until tomorrow's broadcast, as Brother Hansen saying, study, show yourself approved to God.